This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from City Bikes, a worker-owned, cooperatively run bicycle shop with two locations. City Bikes Annex offers new and used bicycles and trailers at 8th and Southeast Ankeny, 503-239-6951, and City Bikes Repair Shop, which has a large selection of used and new parts just west of 20th and Southeast Ankeny, 503-239-0553. More information at citybikes.coop. And now, Bike Show. Good morning. You're listening to the KABU Bike Show here on KBOO in Portland. We are on the air the first Wednesday of every month. I'm Aileen, and Sarah's not with us this morning. She's back in New York City. Those of you who are regular listeners know that she loves going to New York City, and she fights the critical mass fight there and all the struggles that are going on in New York City. So she took the train cross-country to New York City, and next time she comes back on the air with us, she's going to have a lot of great news to report on what's going on in that part of the country. It's a super great morning out there for a ride. It's not raining. It's really warm. I barely even needed my gloves on this morning, so I encourage you to take advantage of the great weather that's out there while we have it. And the KABU Bike Show is now podcasting. I want to thank Chris Smith for that. For more information on our podcast, you can go to yeabikes.net/radio. That's yeabikes.net/radio. We currently have 275 people who are subscribing to the podcast of the KABU Bike Show, and it's available also through iTunes. So if that works for you, you could go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast of the KABU Bike Show. A bunch of great events are coming up in the community over the next few weeks. So I'm going to give you a short list of some of my favorite things that are coming up. First up is Mini Bike Winter. It's going on the 11th of February. For more information, you could go to zubom.org. And the crazy folks of Zubom are putting on their annual Winter Bike Fest. It's sure to be a good time. I know there's great music planned as well as some fun events. And coming up on February 12th, it's the Worst Day of the Year ride, the Community Cycling Center's annual benefit ride. This is the fifth year they've done it. I've worked on this event every year since it started, so I can tell you without a doubt this is one of the best rides that happens in all of Portland. It's there's an urban ride that's about 20 miles, 18 miles, and then there's also a 40-mile challenge if you're interested. But for that in-town ride, there are four rest stops along the way. It starts and ends at the Lucky Lab. It's a great ride. It's not hard. Lots of great food along the way, hot beverages, and it's a great time. So for more information on the Worst Day of the Year ride, February 12th, you can go to worstdayride.org. And that is a great ride for those of you if you're not much of a person who actually pays to go on organized rides. Worst Day of the Year ride is actually a great one, great cause. WorstDayRide.com, sorry about that. WorstDayRide.com for more information. Also coming up, we've got the Alice B. Toe Clips Awards on March 4th. That is the annual awards ceremony for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. Their website has more information, and that's BTA4Bikes.org, BTA4Bikes.org. And finally, the Film by Bike Festival is coming up in April, and there is a call for entries of bike-themed film shorts, films that are 8 minutes and under. And you still got time to get a film together or to spread the word to your friends and family who might like making films. The deadline is March 15th, and submissions can come from around the world and have already started coming in from other parts of the country and the U.S. We've got more information about Film by Bike is on the internet at filmbybike.org. And this morning we're going to be talking with some guests that this is a program I'm really excited about. We have never talked about this on the program with people who actually know what's going on out there. We've speculated a lot what the buses do out there, what bikes do out there in relation to the buses, what's TriMet all about. We've talked about that probably pretty often on the show, but we've never actually had someone from TriMet and never had a bus operator on the program. So I'm excited to be joined this morning by Kieran Lemayer. He is the bicycle coordinator for TriMet. Good morning, Kieran. Thanks for being on the program.
Good morning, Aileen. Thanks for having me.
And also Leroy Minner. He is a bus operator. Good morning. Thanks for coming on, Leroy.
Good morning, Aileen. Thank you for having me.
We're really excited to be on the program this morning to talk about what goes on out there on the road. Because when we're out there, the bus driver's in the bus, we're on our bikes, people are in their cars, we don't really have that opportunity to dialogue and talk to each other. What's going on out there? What's it like for you? When I do this on my bike, how does that make you feel? And how do you react to that? And how do you maneuver around me? We don't have that opportunity when we're out in the street. So we're excited to be on the air this morning to be able to have that dialogue. And later on in the program, we will be taking your calls. And I am looking forward to hearing from some of you out there on what your experience has been out there on the street. So, first off, Leroy, tell us a little bit about how you got started being a bus driver, a bus operator.
Well, actually, it's been about 4.5 years ago. I came back here to Portland from California, and I was just interested in working as a bus operator, and I actually interviewed for it and started a position as a bus operator, and been doing it ever since, and I enjoy it. So that's it.
And what sort of training did you go through in order to operate that big vehicle?
Well, it's actually a long, strenuous training that you have to go through to actually learn to become a bus operator. There's a lot of in class, and then there's a lot of over-the-road training that one has to do. And you basically have to really, really know the road in order to actually operate a bus.
What would you say is the hardest thing that you encounter when you're out there driving the bus?
Well, I would say the hardest for me would be to drive on the streets of Portland, Oregon, actually knowing when to prepare yourself for a stop at a stoplight, and also knowing that there are other people on the road and there are pedestrians out there, and just playing it safe.
And how does a bus differ from just driving your car? I mean, it's huge. I have no idea what goes on behind the wheel there, but what are the kind of things you need to take into consideration with the bus?
I would say that playing it safe would be the number one key. Also, knowing that you're on the road and you're not the only one on the road. You're operating a, like you just said, a big vehicle. And you're on the road and there's other people out there, and you have to actually take into key consideration that you are not the only one out there. You have to remember that there are other people out there, and just my key thing is playing it safe.
And then you guys are also on a pretty tight schedule. So does that come into play? Are you thinking about that when you're driving? Like, oh, I got to make sure I get to the next stop on time. You don't want to be delayed. You don't want to have to deal with angry passengers. That sort of thing.
Well, as far as being on a tight schedule, we don't look at it as being a tight schedule. We have some leeway for being late to various places. The only people who are looking at being on a tight schedule is usually our passengers. They have to be at a certain place at a certain time. So we kind of tell people that, you know, if you leave a little earlier, then you could actually get to where you're going a little bit safer and and on time. You know, that's a big key for passengers who ride our bus. You know, we the bus drivers, we pretty much take our time trying to get to where we're going. Safety is the issue, so we use safety to try to get them to and from their destinations.
Great. And Kieran, what are some of the things that TriMet does to ensure that that the drivers operating the buses are safe and have the right training they need?
Sure. Well, it starts out when our operators pursue their commercial driver's license and the training that happens on the road and in the classroom. There's a workshop called Defensive Driving that we worked with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance to develop. And that's really where we cover issues of how to anticipate when a situation might be getting less safe, driving not just defensively but really proactively, slowing down sooner. Really simple things are in it, like when you're at an intersection, wait till the brake lights of the car in front of you go out before you start moving. And that's something I always see cars, they always kind of want to get going as soon as they can. Our operators are trained to really wait a couple seconds, make sure the intersection is safe and clear, check the mirrors. Leroy can tell you how often they do that because I've often been invited to operate a bus myself, but I don't know as much about it directly. So, but we work with the BTA in particular to develop that defensive driving workshop. It also covers a lot of other issues like pedestrians and low visibility situations. So.
And what are some of the biggest challenges that TriMet faces in trying to provide the service that you provide?
Well, we're really lucky coming off of 17 years of increased ridership growth. It's really finding the resources to continue to meet the demand for service throughout the region. And that means, you know, continuing to figure out where to expand service, how to fund that, things like that. That's really a big challenge after safety. So.
And Leroy, before you were, what were you doing before you were a bus driver?
Well, actually, I started off in L.A. as a teacher and teaching fifth grade. And so the cost of living in California was a little bit more than I could actually take after a while. So I decided that I wanted to do something a little different. And so it brought me here to Portland, Oregon. I still continued my teaching here for a very short while until I was introduced to TriMet, and I've been there ever since.
Do you ever think of going back to being a teacher, or are you liking it as a bus operator?
Well, I've been asked that question so many times, and I'm going to give the same answer. I do like teaching. I do like working in a classroom setting. But working as a bus operator, it has some of the same similarities, and I believe that as far as going back to teaching, I don't think I'll be doing that right at this moment. I'm pretty comfortable right now as a bus operator.
And what routes do you drive? What's your regular routine?
Well, I am what they consider a regular relief driver, and I do multiple bus lines, and pretty much line 8 is one of my lines, and line 77, and we have line 6.
What would you say when you're out there operating the vehicle, what have been some of the scariest things that have happened? Have you had any close encounters or calls where you thought, I don't know if I could keep doing this, or just things that really shook you up?
Well, it's usually, like you said, what has shaken me up, it would be pretty much cars actually cutting us off would be one for me. Cars turning in front of me, making a right turn as I'm about to leave a bus stop. And then there's pedestrians crossing the street, and some of them cross. If you go to the mall downtown Portland, some pedestrians cross right in the center of the block instead of at a corner where it's much more safer. And that would be one of the most scariest things for me, to see someone actually cross right in front of me and me coming close to wiping them out.
Yeah. And the passengers on the bus, are they distracting, or are they just, do you have any incidents with them, or are they pretty much, your head is just focused on the road when you're driving?
Well, it can be both ways. I mean, there are some passengers who need a little bit more attention than others. They require a lot more attention as far as questions and so forth. But then there's those passengers that you meet and greet every day who just make your day for mm-hmm. some reason. They have something nice to say to you, you know, and when they deboard your bus, they say bye to you, and just those simple words can actually make your day.
That's great. I say goodbye to the bus operator, so I'm glad to know it means something to the
yeah.
bus operator.
And you're one of the good riders then.
I just really started riding the bus in the ice storm 3 years ago, or whenever that was. Before that, I just got around by my bike, and I rode the bus, and then I realized that now I live in a neighborhood where the bus is, there's a great bus line 2 blocks from my house and another great bus line 4 blocks from my house. I could take the 75, I could take the 8. So I find myself taking the bus more often, and it's been really interesting to be on the bus and see what you see from, sometimes I like to sit real up front and see kind of how that bus operator is seeing things. Because as a cyclist on the road, I know that buses are big. I don't like driving. That's why I don't. And I've never been a good driver. So when I see these buses coming, I think, man, if I were operating that vehicle, I'd be really nervous in a tight situation. So I tend to get out of the way as a cyclist. I know a lot of other people have been talking about this issue lately, and they're saying, you know, they're on their bike and that bus driver came way too close to them. And I'm thinking, did they, or did you stick yourself in a situation where maybe you should have backed off a little bit, because that bus is pretty big. And, you know, I feel like as a bus operator, you have a lot more issues going on that you need to worry about at times. And you have a whole busload of people that you're on the job to protect the safety of them as you operate the vehicle. And I can hang back a little bit for, you know, 20 seconds, 10 seconds on my bike and create a safer situation by doing that. So I would like to hear from some of our listeners out there also. I'm curious to know what your experience has been on the road and in interacting with the buses. So we will be taking your calls. Our number here is 503-231-8187 here on the KBOO Bike Show. And this morning we're talking with TriMet. We've got Kieran Lemaye. He is the bicycle coordinator for TriMet. And also Leroy Minner. He is a bus operator. And we're talking with them about what it's like to operate buses on the streets of Portland, and also what TriMet is doing to encourage safer streets out there. This is the KBOO Bike Show. We are on the air the first Wednesday of every month, and also podcasting through the Bike Channel. That's bikechannel.portlandtransport.com. And we will go to our first caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Good morning. My name is Will.
Good morning, Will.
And just a little bit of background information. I'm a TriMet bus driver.
Great.
I'm a bike commuter. And a little bit nervous, but I was a member of the BTA board in the early 90s, and I was one of the early advocates for getting bikes on buses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And actually, when I went to work for TriMet about 10 years ago, I had to kind of downplay that because of many of the internal attitudes of my fellow drivers regarding bikes. They had a very disparaging attitude toward them being on the road, and it was it's been a long road for me to try to politely convince some of my fellow drivers that bicycles are vehicles, should be treated like vehicles, and they actually do have a right to be on the road. And if there is a bike lane, they should use it, but they may not be able to, because after a recent snowstorm, there may be a lot of gravel in it, or in the fall, could be a lot of leaves in the road there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to echo some of the comments that I think it's Leroy.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
The other driver there, I must quite agree with him that many of the comments he's made. The one thing I would maybe add is a lot of people ask me, how come, I like to drive a bus out there, you know, and I have to remind them. I said, you know, at rush hour traffic, I'm being paid to be on the road.
Yes.
The other people aren't. They're by their choice and circumstances of life, they're out there trying to get their kids home from school, get to meetings, get home for dinner,
right.
You know, a zillion other things. And the driver of the bus does have the luxury, and I kind of say that in quotes, of not having to put the pedal to the metal, you know, but at the same time, he's got an enormous responsibility with a 30,000-pound vehicle, 40 to 50 passengers on board at rush hour, cars weaving in and out of traffic, cars cutting in front of you, like you said. And then you add to that mix a lot of bicycles in the Portland community. And it's a stressful job, but it's doable. There just needs to be some perception changes or realizations by both bicycles and bus drivers. I always comment to people, when I go to work, I'm on my bike, I'm the smallest thing on the road, and then when I'm at work, I'm driving the biggest thing on the road,
mm-hmm.
and then when I get off work, I go back to driving the smallest thing on the road. So I think that gives me a very unique perspective on what's going on out there. One thing I would like to mention that to get out to some of your listeners that I think is very, very important. As a bicycle, act and behave like a vehicle. don't ride the white line between two lanes. I see this all the time by Portland State. Guys are riding on that little dotted white line. You wouldn't expect a car to do that, so don't do that on your bike because nobody is expecting you to be there. It's a very dangerous place to be. If you want to ride in a lane, take the lane. In other words, take it. Be aggressive. Be assertive. Know your rights. Know the law. Get a copy of the Oregon Bicycle Plan if you need to and read the statutes and know what can and can't be done. The other thing is, as a bicycle, don't pass the bus on the right-hand side when it's stopped.
Exactly.
That's where people are getting in and out of the door. And, boy, you and a bike going 15 miles an hour hits a pedestrian, somebody's going to get hurt.
Yep.
Somebody's going to get hurt real bad. And that includes don't go up on the sidewalk to go around the bus. Go around the bus on the left-hand side. The bus is going to stop every other block, more than likely, or, you know, at least at rush hour. If you pass on the left, put your left arm out, go around, get in front of the bus, and then take off, you're more than likely going to get several blocks ahead of the bus because he's going to keep on stopping. And you'll separate yourself from the bus, and everybody will be happy.
Great. Well, Will, thanks so much for calling in this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having the show.
Sure.
Ride safe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we would love to hear from other operators out there. If you're a bus operator, feel free to call in this morning and tell us what your experience is like. 503-231-8187. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Thank you. Well, the last caller pretty much said most of what I would have liked to have said, in that when bicycles act like vehicles, they're a lot easier to treat with respect and also to, you know, behave as, you know, any other person on the road. And as far as my understanding is, high occupancy vehicles and slow moving vehicles have the right of way on the road, and so drivers need to be conscious of that. I took the bus and biked for nearly all my life, and it's an invaluable way of getting around the Portland metro area. But now, as a driver, I can look from a different point of view. And what the last caller said about riding the lines or passing on the right, you know, that's really really difficult for drivers to react to. And so when bikes and, you know, buses, of course, act like vehicles and people treat them with respect and yield to them because they are the either higher occupancy or slower moving vehicles, everyone on the road will be safer and get along. And now that I'm a driver, I just don't want to hurt anybody, especially a bicyclist. So if they're acting like vehicles, I'll know how to behave when they're around. And I'd like to thank you guys for having the show on the air and including TriMet.
Great. Thanks for your call this morning.
Bye-bye.
And we'll go to our next caller. Lines are full. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Yeah, good morning. The caller before the last one pretty much said what I was thinking of saying, but when you are riding near a bus and on a bus route, it is a good idea to do whatever you can to change your speed so you are not in sync with the bus.
I agree.
Either speed up or slow down, and either way, it's you do not have to be Ivan Basso to get ahead of a bus as slowly as buses move most of the time. And it only takes waiting out one extra stoplight to get solidly behind a bus, and either way, it reduces the conflict. My last comment is I drive a car more than I ride a bike these days, and TriMet drivers aren't any more generous with space to drivers of small and middle-sized cars than they are to cyclists. So cyclists are not alone. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks for your call. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Good. I just wanted to call. I am a very mixed user. I drive, I ride my bike, and I ride the bus pretty equally, just depending on what my need is for the day. So I just wanted to, number one, say thank you to the TriMet drivers out there who really do a fantastic job getting people around safely on a very regular basis. For the amount of people they haul around, they do a really great job of keeping people safe and doing a wonderful job sharing the road with bikes.
It's good to hear.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The only one big concern that I do have And I don't know how prevalent this is. I live close in downtown, so bike lanes are not a problem. Wide roads aren't a problem. So when I ride my bike, I generally feel very safe. And when I get my bike on a bus, I feel safe. I feel like there's room to do that, and that's a, you know, a, not a bad situation for me to be in. But, you know, I recently changed jobs, and now I work further out. And there are no shoulders, there are no sidewalks, there are no bike lanes. It's like the mentality changes immediately when you get outside of the, you know, the urban growth boundary, that suddenly bicycles and pedestrians are non-existent. I don't know what can be done about that on the TriMet end, but I just want to make drivers aware that those people are still out there. You know, I have to walk along the shoulder of a road with no shoulder. You know, when I'm a pedestrian, I have to ride my bike in a road with no shoulder and blind corners and people going 60 and a 35. And, you know, just, I feel like I have to drive more now because of that. So I just kind of want to put it out there to the people not maybe James, but maybe Beaverton, that people ride their bikes and walk too, and to please be aware of those people.
Great. Well, thanks for your call this morning.
All right. Thank you.
And
bye-bye.
It's great that you are out there riding. I know a lot of us who are bike advocates would say that the more of us who actually get out there and ride, the more vehicles start to see us out there, and they start to look for us and expect us and know that we're going to be on the road, because we're not an uncommon sight. And I think that's part of the reason you may be experiencing a sense of more safety in the urban core, because there's so many of us out there on bikes and so many people out there walking. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
I agree with the last caller. I'm a rural cyclist, and in the rural counties, you have to really listen for what's coming up behind you, and literally slow down and jump in a ditch sometimes, because if there's a car coming towards you and one coming behind you, if you're not in the ditch, you're going to get hit. I do that all the time. Fortunately, I'm not a fast cyclist. I cycle every day 7 miles, but I listen very carefully to what's coming up behind me. I'm calling in because when I take my car to Portland, which I have to take, I'm astounded at the design of the buses, the TriMet buses. They reach from the center line almost to the other side of their lane. So when they're pulling out or just going down the street, on the street where there's cars parked on their right, they're straddling that white line. And I'm just never know what to do. I either just keep right behind the bus solely, even though I'm in the other lane and should be able to go past them. There's no room. Why are the buses designed so wide, and why has no one noticed this or commented on this? Doesn't anyone experience this but me? Anyway, that was my... I think it's serious, and I'm just really wondering why the buses are so wide.
Okay, thanks for your call. Karen, would you like to address that?
Sure. I can't speak directly to the vehicle design, other than to say that, you know, we use what's available on the market and what you see generally. I think Portland has done a really good job of generally keeping traffic lanes narrower, because that's a really important tool for keeping traffic at a reasonable speed. And so while we might be kissing the edges of that lane, that's a good way for the cars as they're going down the street to be reminded that they need to observe the speed limit. And so lane width is a really important contributor to how fast people feel they can drive when they're in a car. And you might notice that on the bridges when the lanes open up. What do people do when there's not a lot to see? They feel that freedom to move around. So.
And, Leroy, what's it like with that, trying to stay within those lines and the bus being so wide? Do you find that you have a hard time staying in your lane, or once you get out there, it's pretty much fine?
Yeah, I do have a hard time staying in one lane. Excuse me. And at some points, at some roads, we do need a little more space than what's offered. We do have to enter into the second lane just to make a turn, or to actually pull away from the curb. And we just ask that commuters out there just be aware of us. You know, we are larger than them, and we just need the space, you know, just give us the room, you know, share the road with us. That's all we ask.
Great. go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Hi.
Hey there.
Is it me? Yeah.
Yes.
I use my bicycle mostly for running errands and, you know, occasionally for just taking short trips around the neighborhood. Otherwise, I take transit all the time, and I don't have a car. And I don't really relate a lot to the bicycle community in general because I feel that most of the bicycle community is focused on commuting. They talk about bicycle commuting, or they do recreational rides, and those are like long, these are long rides. I don't do either one of those, so I don't relate a lot to the bicycle community. But I will say that it was interesting you made the comment early in the program about aren't bus riders impatient to get to their destination. And actually, one of the things you learn when you become a transit rider primarily is patience. And one of the things that I feel like there's really no difference between car drivers and most bicycle riders is that I feel like most bicycle riders still have that automobile mentality of, you know, I've got a right to go as fast as I want and get to my destination as quickly as possible. And, you know, I don't have that mentality anymore. And the other thing is that I don't get that angry at car drivers because I guess I'm kind of elitist. I feel sorry for these people stuck in their cars, stuck in these little cages and, you know, with so many restrictions and everything, I just have a lot of compassion for them. So I don't get that upset with them. So,
thanks so much for your call this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is true when we're driving a car or we're riding our bike, we have control over how fast we go. So I think it's really easy to get caught up in that rat race and wanting to go faster and because we are controlling the way we move. Whereas when you are a transit rider, it's up to Leroy. You know, it's up to the bus operators to get us where we're going. So we kind of sit back and let the other people take care of that. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Good morning, Aileen.
Good morning.
This is Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Nice monkey.
Hi there.
Hi. Yeah, I moved up here to Puyallup, Washington area last summer, and I've been experiencing a lot different interaction with cars and bicycles. It's not as quite a bicycle-friendly place to ride as Portland. In fact, it's sometimes very unfriendly. I just wanted to let you know some of the things I'm trying to do up here. Related to that, I'm working on getting some grant money from the bicycle-related company that I work for. I'm now working as a bicycle mechanic, in addition to being car-free since 97 and bicycle racing. They're very supportive of me and bicycles. We're building 30,000 bikes this year between 24 of us. But I'm working with getting the grant money from the company to start the Safe Routes to School program, getting children and their parents aware that it's better and sometimes in their best interest for health and for the environment to walk and bike to school and walk and bike doing errands or go to the grocery store to pick up a quart of milk that's only a mile away instead of getting in their car. But in order to be able to do that, we need to make it safer for bicyclists and pedestrians to be on that no sidewalk, no shoulder, no bike lane area. I ride my bike like a car. If there's no shoulder, especially if I'm going uphill, there's a lot more hills up here, and I can only go 6 miles an hour uphill, I take the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah, every time a car comes up behind you and it wants to pass and you're right on the edge of that gravel out in a suburban area, guess what? That car's going to want to squeeze past you just as a car's coming in another direction, and I've had too many cars pass me 6 inches off my elbow.
Yeah,
so
that can be a scary situation.
I ride the safest way. I'm 3 feet out in the road. They have to slow down. They wait till it's safe to pass, and they pass me.
Well, thanks.
That's the only safe way to ride.
Thanks for calling in this morning, Robin, and thanks for the update on the stuff you've got going on up there. We are talking this morning with TriMet. We've got a really unique opportunity talking to Leroy Minner, who is a bus operator. We'd love to, if you have questions for Leroy on what it's like to be a bus operator, and also Kieran Lemay, the bicycle coordinator from TriMet. Great opportunity to ask them some questions and hear what it's like on the other side of things out there on the road. So we're taking your calls this morning at 503 231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the Cable Bike Show.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, great. I love the show, first off.
Thanks.
It's really informative, and I really enjoyed the calls, and I can really relate to the people that have called in. And I'm glad you've got a bus operator there.
Yep.
Because I also was a bus operator for a couple of years. I drove for a couple of school districts, and I've driven some 36,000-pound, 84-passenger vehicles on the road. So I know exactly what they're up against running around, except I've got a whole load of screaming kids in the back of me. And, you know, but one of the things that I saw, and I think he's right, that bicycle driver, that the Oregonian, incidentally, I've got a comment, the Oregonians has turned this into a huge deal. And I really think they're practicing some kind of yellow journalism when they take inflammatory comments about what people would do, what they would have done to this bicycle rider, and then put them in print. I think that's really in poor taste, and I think it really does create a controversy. But then they're there to sell papers, and I think that's what they're doing there. That being said, going back to the incident which they put on to the news media got a hold of, the bicycle rider should have taken the street, and he had the right to do that when his safety was at hand in the bicycle lane with glass and gravel, as he said. The thing that he was trying to do was not to impede traffic, and that sometimes is a hard thing for a bicycle rider to do, especially if they're on a straightaway. And the driver of the TriMet bus should have simply slowed the vehicle down until he was able to safely pass that bicyclist. And he did not do that. He just continued on as if the bicyclist wasn't there. And that's where my training and my experience as a bus operator, you know, really differs from what happened that day. And yeah, it would have slowed him down a little bit, but that's the way it goes. You're playing with human lives. You're not playing with, you know, it's not a game at a certain point. And when you're driving something that big, you have to act responsibly. So I think there's fault on both sides of that fence. But, you know, I don't know. I've been in that situation before where I could reach out and touch a bus, and it is maddening, but, and where there was no bike lane. And, you know, I don't know that the solution, I wrote on a TriMet bus the other day where the gal was writing things down in a notebook while she had one elbow on the wheel driving a 36,000-pound vehicle down the road. So, I mean, I think the solution might be to start coming down on some of these drivers for their safety habits. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call. Kieran, do you have anything to mention about that? What is the safety record at TriMet like, and what do you do to address safety concerns with any drivers who might have any incidents where maybe it looks like this driver has a history of not being safe? Does TriMet intervene, and how does that work?
Sure. Well, if anyone sees anything, we want to know about it, if it's a compliment or a situation like that, if it's a safety situation. So do let us know via 238-RIDE so that we can follow up on the situation. So, but we have to know about it. That's kind of the first step. So.
Right. And does TriMet do specific training to say, hey, this is what happens when a bike is out there, or is that just all wrapped into the general training?
Well, our defensive driving workshop training covers things such as that we have a cyclist have a right to the road, and also talks about how much space we want to give. And operators do have a chance to have a discussion about what, you know, how do people feel if they're in a smaller vehicle versus one that's thousands of pounds, and what does that mean, so that they can kind of think what it's like to be on each side of a situation. And we really train that safety is our number one priority among all road users. And I just want to comment earlier, I'm glad that some of the callers brought up the pedestrian access. That's something that I learned when I started trying that very early on, is that every transit rider is a pedestrian at some point in their trip. And so that's something we really look at, is what are the jurisdictions doing to improve access to transit when we expand our service. But
that's great. I thought it was interesting earlier, Will, one of the callers mentioned that he is a bus operator, and he's actively working to speak with his coworkers and let them know that it's okay to be a cyclist. What has your experience with that been, Leroy, as far as your coworkers and their attitudes towards spikes. Do you find, is there a prevailing, the perception these days seems to be there is this, that bus drivers hate bikes, and there's this prevailing attitude. But obviously, speaking with you this morning and some of our callers, I know that that's not the case. What's your experience been dealing with your coworkers?
First of all, I want to say I knew I was going to be asked at some point about this. A lot of the drivers I've spoken to about cyclists on the road, pretty much, well, we do like bicyclists on the road. We don't have a problem with them being on the road. It's just that there are bicyclists who are out there who do not ride their bikes defensively. Some of them are, like we said earlier, are on the road, and they tend to get in front of the bus, and they kind of make it unsafe for us to actually operate our vehicle. And I don't have a problem myself with bicyclists. I believe that everybody's entitled to a piece of the road, and everybody's going to some destination. We're just carrying more than just that bicyclist. We're carrying people on our bus. We're carrying lives on our bus that we have to take into consideration, that we get them to their destination safely. So we do our best. And the question that you ask, have I heard other other drivers speak about bicyclists? And I can say that for the most part, we all seem to get along with bicyclists, the drivers that I've spoken to. So that's my take on it.
Great. Yeah,
and if I could add, too, that a lot of us do ride to work. You know, we have report times as early as, you know, 4:30 in the morning or so, which can be a nice time to ride if you're after getting up that early. But we cover up to almost 9,000 miles a month bike commuting, getting to TriMet every day or every month. So.
And, Leroy, you're a cyclist, too. Is that true?
That is true, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what type of riding you do and what you like about riding a bike.
Well, I'm actually a neighborhood rider. I don't ride basically to downtown Portland like I see most bicyclists do on a commute to their way to work or something like that. I stay within my neighborhood and ride, and I find that it's a very good ride. So I just say keep riding to all those bicyclists out there.
Great. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBU Bike Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to mention two things. One, I'd like to know how much fuel tax and road use tax comes out of the purchase of a bicycle. And also, the fact that a bus seems wider than everything else is basically an optical illusion, because since the federal DOT opened the road for vehicles from 98 inches max to 108 inches max, everything is wider, trucks and all. But the trucks don't have the skirts like the buses do. And I think it's strictly an optical illusion, because they come down closer to the ground than the trucks. And the bicyclists are right on the ground.
Great. Thanks so much for your call this morning.
You're quite welcome, ma'am.
And we will go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBU Bike Show.
Good morning. This is Hebert.
Hi there.
I have the opportunity of being a contractor with TriMet, and I've been contracting with him for about 4 years. I'm also an avid bicyclist and put in probably about 4,000 miles a year, so I kind of see the situation from both sides. Because I'm in contact with drivers every day, I know that the attitude of the drivers towards bicyclists are far different than what Leroy and Kieran and Will have represented. And the reason that's different is because they're also bicyclists. And so the people that we're getting input from are bicyclists and drivers, and I think that those are the educated ones out there. But I know a lot of drivers, I speak with them every day, very nice people, but the moment the topic of bicycling comes up, these become very angry and bitter people, and they list bicyclists as the number one thing that they dislike about their job. I've had many drivers that acknowledge that they know other drivers, never themselves, of course, who will intentionally buzz close to a cyclist as they go by them with the intent to frighten them, so that there's some sort of vague concept that maybe then in the future they will stay off of the road. And the number one complaint that they have about bicyclists for the most part is, well, they don't obey the law. The problem with that is that most of the drivers have absolutely no idea what the law is, in regard to bicyclists. I carry the statutes around with me because I have conversations every day about bicycling in my position, not as a part of my position at TriMet, but just because of where I'm at. And it's almost bizarre some of the things that drivers believe is the law pertaining to bicyclists. And I attempt to educate them as much as I can with the piece of paper, which some drivers are receptive, but for the majority of them aren't. They seem to just like, well, I'm a professional driver. I've been trained. I know what the laws are, and they just shut it down. So I guess if these comments could lead to a question, it would be to ask Kieran if there anything specific going to be going on with trainings in the future to really educate drivers about the law and what bicyclists are and aren't allowed to do. And I understand that they're talking about defensive driving. I mean, that's certainly that is so important. But the attitude about defensive driving isn't necessarily the same thing as having an understanding of what the law is. And there are many drivers that when they perceive a bicyclist is no longer following the law, then they approach the situation a little more aggressively than they might otherwise, because they think, well, they're in the right and the bicyclist isn't.
Great, Sievert. Thanks for your call, and I'll let Kieran address that for you.
Sure, and thanks for calling again, and I'm glad we do have a format like radio, which is so much better for discussing what's going on than in any way using a vehicle to get your point across. What we have in our bus operator's guide is very clear about how to interact with cyclists on the road, how much space to give, reiterates that a bike is a vehicle with a right to the road. The BTA lobbied very hard last year and won some important updates to the ORS as it regards to bike lanes and things like that. And we will be providing that update in our operator report newsletter that we do to keep people apprised of changes so that people know that, for instance, passing on the right or leaving the bike lane when that's appropriate and things like that. So that, and then the bus operator guide is really the place where we have that information. So.
And then on the flip side of on the cyclist end of thing, does TriMet provide any information on what a cyclist can do and how to interact with the buses that are out there?
Sure. We attend a number of events where we can interact with cyclists, and also on the website, TriMet.org, if you do a search for sharing the road with TriMet, we have a section that discusses things like what does it mean when the bus's yield light is flashing? Because in that case, when the bus is leaving the stop, if the red yield light is flashing on the back, all vehicles need to yield to let the bus back into traffic, which is, you know, something that they don't cover in bicycle education, I don't think, at least not at my high school.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Good morning, Aileen and Sarah. And hi, Kieran. This is Todd Boulanger with the City of Vancouver.
Good morning, Todd.
Morning, Todd.
Yes, as a regional cyclist, I would actually rather cycle with bus drivers than most car drivers. I find them a much better population as a whole, given their courtesy and their professionalness. So you're right. I mean, some of the callers have brought up that there are occasional bus drivers that are frustrated. Part of that is, you know, bus drivers, bus riders, cyclists, and pedestrians are really competing for the last 10% of the street space.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our street design, I work for the City of Vancouver's Transportation Department doing bike and ped design, and we're left with the scraps. You know, we're trying to eke out between parking and multiple left turn lanes, and we're all basically trying to use the same space. The most efficient, probably, lane there is shared between buses and bikes and the pedestrians. And road maintenance. I mean, I think the case we're all talking about is that the issue that came up, fisticuffs on the bridge. Street sweeping is very important, and often in the wintertime, all that grit isn't removed. It makes the bike lane very difficult to ride in. Has anyone brought up, I was talking to a cyclist that was on the bus when this incident happened, and he was mentioning that the bus driver did make some derogatory comments. This is third-hand information, but this bus driver that has since deceased made some not very friendly bike comments as he was passing the cyclists who couldn't ride in the bike lane. And so we may be dealing with a situation where we had poor maintenance, poor sweeping, a weather incident, and a bus driver that may not have been that friendly to cyclists. Additionally, Aileen, I've faxed you some information on a news item that if you could read today, or if I could do a shout out, that would be great.
You can do a shout out. I did not get the facts, unfortunately.
Okay. I spoke to Kryptonite this morning. For all those of you with a Kryptonite U-lock that has been made within the last 10 years or so, this is, I think, the last month of their exchange program. So if any of you have a Kryptonite lock with the key that's functioning, you should go to the website www.kryptonitesettlement.com. You can also find that link on the main Kryptonite website. The lock settlement is not being handled by the lock company. It's a litigation settlement. And for those of you without web access, here's a toll-free number, 877-484-8196. And additionally, I'd like to thank the regional cyclists for supporting our open house last night for bike lanes or bikeway on Columbia in Vancouver. This is an important link to the I-5 bridge for bike commuters, and we're still trying to get bike improvements up to 44th Street from downtown. So thank you again, SHIFT members and BTA members and residents.
Great. Thanks so much for calling in
Bye.
This morning, Todd. And we'll have to get Todd back on the program in the near future to give us more updates on what's going on in Vancouver, Washington for cyclists. We're going to take one more caller here. Good morning, caller. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. I guess it's about remedial education. I'm a pedestrian and a cyclist and a driver and a bus passenger. I have no prejudices against any one of the types of transportation. And I think there's a minority of people in each one of those groups who need a little refresher course or something. We've heard that new bus drivers, go to a workshop. I'm curious about drivers who have been there for many years before bikes were so popular and so welcomed. And, do they get retraining or if a complaint is made, and I'm afraid I've had to complain about a couple of drivers who were really aggressive when I was on a bike. When a complaint is made, what's the process? Does the driver get re-educated? I'd like to know if I can encourage my friends to report the run number of the bus, which is that four-digit number in the front window. I'd like to hear both from the supervisor and what the process should be, and from the driver, without embarrassing himself too much, if a complaint has ever been made against him, what happens?
Okay, great. We have just a couple minutes left, so we'll address those really quickly. Thanks very much for your call. Kieran, how about ongoing training?
Sure. Ongoing training, again, primarily we address that through our bus operator guide, which every operator is required to know and understand the materials in it. So that's where we do ongoing updates. We do have a number of refresher trainings. There's lots of laws that are changing, particularly interpretations of ADA, things like that, that we stay on top of with our operators. So,
great. Leroy, any bad incidents you want to tell us about? That's kind of a tricky one.
Well, I guess, yeah, I've had quite a few of them. But nothing in particular. I just pretty much I've handled them on the road, so nothing, no call-ins or anything. So
great, good work.
All right.
Well, folks, we've been talking to TriMet this morning. We've got Kieran Lemaye. He is the bicycle coordinator for TriMet, and also Leroy Minner. He is a bus operator, and we've been talking about that infamous TriMet squeeze and what are bus drivers actually doing out there. I would just like to reiterate that all road users have their issues. I think that last caller made some good points. There are terrible cyclists out there, terrible drivers, terrible pedestrians, and there are bus drivers who aren't doing great things all the time either. Truck drivers, everybody. I think most of us are trying to do the right thing out there and coexist out on the road and share the road. And I would like to encourage everybody to give the buses just a little bit more room. They do have a large vehicle to drive, as we heard about this morning. So, Leroy, thank you so much for coming on the program. It was really great to hear from you and hear your perspective as a bus operator. And, Kieran, always a pleasure to have you on the program. This has been the KBOO Bike Show here on KBOO in Portland. Find out more information, yeabikes.net/radio, yeabikes.net/radio, and we're podcasting through iTunes. Make it a great day. Keep riding your bike.
Bicycle miles to bring to your door the things of this world that you're longing for. limes fresh from the groves of a southern nation, wine pressed in the shade of the most expensive bell ever rung. And when my song is finally sung, you'll know that I'm the one for you. I carry your name in a golden locket, right next to my heart in my jacket pocket. My life as it is a meditation on you and the pure physical sensation of holding your hand, caressing certain little things.